Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 474. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, oh my goodness. So it's always fun to have the recording day here. You were worried there was going to be lots of music playing outside of your house today, but it seems like we're okay here. How are you?
I am doing great, Brian. I got back yesterday. What's today? Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. 2 days ago. As we record, yes.
2 days ago from the Oklahoma Writers Federation Incorporated conference in Oklahoma City. It was great. I think everyone had a great time. They took really good care of us. And by that, I just mean we were well fed. That's standards.
That's all you need.
They helped a lot. They gave us shepherds. So, you know, it was like we knew where to be and when. And they just made it so easy to go. So that was really, it was really great getting to go and talk. Of course, I talked about Enneagram. I did a presentation on humor and just got to talk about the things that I love. So that was a good time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I haven't been to too many conferences like that lately, but I have two or three lined up for the next year. And so I'm really excited. I don't know if I'll have shepherds. I don't know if I'll be well fed, but I'm looking forward to those for the same reasons. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it was great. And of course, I got to see some familiar faces. We went to a dance hall that also had bull riding in it. Ooh. And I was like, all right, Oklahoma, I see you.
Yeah.
So that was
so
fun.
You and Dan Wood rode together?
Yeah, me and Dan Wood and a few others, Michael Laron, Becca, yeah, Nick Thacker. We were all hitting up Oklahoma City, seeing what it had to offer. So,
man, I didn't know there were so many cool people going to this Oklahoma conference. I'll have to put that on the list.
Yeah, they got the good ones.
I've never been.
Nobody else is good. It's just
aww.
Us.
So I'm I guess I'm off the list.
It was a great group. It was, and I met some new people who are awesome. And so,
oh wonderful!
Yeah, I'm excited about doing more of that.
Yay! Oh well, good, cool. Well, last couple of weeks for me, I have been trying to recoup after the challenge. Those are always draining. It's kind of like launching a book. It's like, this is the book I launch every quarter is the challenge. And we had revamped the entire thing. So I had a little more recovering to do, but, it's starting to really get nice and warm here, which is great. Ice cream weather here in North Carolina and we're about to have pool weather here coming up in a week or so. And so there's a lot of fun to be had in my neck of the woods. And then I guess it's tomorrow. I have an email marketing how to get your first 500 subscribers webinar, which I love talking about email. It's like not my thing, but I love email. And so I'm looking forward to that one on Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern. So stay tuned for that. Claire, you got anything you want to plug here before we get into the show proper?
Yeah, I actually do this time. I'm together today.
Nice.
I opened up all of my summer workshops and masterclasses. So that is an author alignment workshop and a fiction and Enneagram masterclass and a hero's journey of the Enneagram masterclass. So you can sign up at all of those or for all of those at FFS.media/classes. So all of the summer, there's one a month. So June, July, August, and they do have a max capacity. So you want to get your tickets because I will be plugging those much more this summer. So you don't want to sell out.
What's the URL on that again?
FFS.media/classes.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Go check those out, folks. There is a max capacity.
Max capacity, not max headspace.
Yeah, no. Very different thing. All right. So this is interesting. So last 2 weeks ago, we talked about how TikTok is making a publishing imprint, which I now know is called Eighth Note Press. Very, very musical TikTok. But our question was, do you think that the new TikTok publishing imprint will doom indies on BookTok or will have a minimal effect on the ability to grow on TikTok? And I, you know, this was a week we were kind of transitioning. Ariella's taking a break. And so we didn't have anyone post this in the group. So we didn't have any responses. But then I posted about it on TikTok. 13,600 views later, 250 shares later, and I had a heck of a lot of responses about this on TikTok. And that was one of the two videos, because I did a 15-second one and then I did a 3-minute one. And the 3-minute one really took off. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people are scared about BookTok going down. There, some people attributed the recent downturn in views on their BookTok post to this news, which I don't know if you can make that correlation right there. But so many people were scared about it. So many people were upset about it. And it was really interesting. I did not expect when I shared that news for it to strike as big a nerve. I think I had over a dozen people who were stitching my video and giving their opinions on it. And so it was wild over there on TikTok. I think 200 new followers from just that video. So it was a lot of people have scared thoughts about it, Claire, based on the fact that so many people were, you know, borderline terrified or at least not happy about this news. Like, does that change your thoughts on this at all?
No, I think that the pool of people that we're drawing from on this are all people who are trying to build their platform on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
So it's more of a threat. So I think when we talked about this originally, I was saying, you know, if you aren't on BookTok, this doesn't matter for you. If you are on BookTok, then this may be relevant because it could be that your TikToks will not be favored over those of the BookTok authors that sign with the imprint. Right. So I think that there's never a reason to panic.
Yeah.
But when I get new information like this, if I had built a big following on BookTok, I would be considering my options and looking for other ways to build stability in my business. In the event that this does become a thing, I would probably be shifting my attention a little bit away from TikTok as a main pillar of my business if I had built it there, which I did not. But so I understand that people are worried, are scared, maybe a little terrified. But I just want to remind people that it's just new data and it may signal something important to you. You don't have to be scared of it, though. You can just think like, if I wasn't, like, how much of this fear is something else that's coming forward and manifesting in this way? And how much of it is actually just energy telling me, hey, maybe you should shift your attention somewhere else?
I think that's well said. I think that we all have to take a breath when we hear news that distresses us and we have to unpack why it is distressing us. Cool. Well, let's go into the top story. Eyes wide.
Panic.
I know, right? we can talk about that one deeply. Eyes wide open. The Kindle Unlimited payout has significantly dwindled recently, as documented by written word media and is leading many KU authors to rethink their commitment to exclusivity with Amazon. Quote, Amazon's Kindle Unlimited pays self-publishing authors based on the number of pages read, and those payouts, determined after the reading takes place, took a recent nosedive, reported Jane Friedman in her Hot Sheet newsletter. The February and March 2023 per-page payout at the lowest rates ever reported. And in response, indie author Lindsay Baroker tweeted that she's going to be removing her titles from KU because exclusivity is, quote, starting to not be worth it, end quote. Author Christine Catherine Rush says that, quote, the financial loss for writers was significant, and it's worse if you look at a historic timeline for the KU payments, end quote. Rush states that the 2015 KU fund paid about 60 cents per 100 pages read, which is on par with low traditional publishing royalties. And by 2022, rates had dropped even lower to roughly 40 cents per 100 pages. Quote, the scary thing about KU is that it can be whatever Amazon wants it to be, says Rush, who is a champion of selling wide and selling direct. Rush reminds authors that Amazon is known to cancel KDP accounts without notice or explanation, as we've covered on this show, in addition to continuing to lower Kindle Unlimited payout rates. Quote, either way, Kindle Unlimited exists at the whim of Amazon, which in this fraught economic moment is quite a risk for writers, end quote. Okay, we have to mention, as it was mentioned in the story, Chris has always been anti-exclusivity, which is worth pointing out. And there are many authors who have commented on this who are anti-exclusivity. Now, I'm not pro-exclusivity myself, but I did want to point that out because most of the quotes in this article are from people who are extremely against the concept of KU from the beginning. Claire, before we even started this one, you brought up, speaking of, you know, Chicken Little syndrome over here, should authors consider worrying more than they have been about exclusivity, or is this not a significant change based on where things have been for the last year?
That is such a hard question to answer. Because we've always known that Kindle Unlimited is going to be a bit of like the boiling frog syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. The frog doesn't realize it's boiling because the temperature is going up so slowly. Yep. So it doesn't jump out. And that has been the trend with the KU page reads for a while. So yes, we've hit the lowest point, but I don't think that necessarily means that it's not going to go up. Mm-hmm. But I do see that it is trending downward. We've seen this for years, right? We have data back from 2015, right? So it's been 8 years. We've looked at the data. It is trending down. So it really is a matter of when is it too hot? When is the water too hot for you? And how long are you going to stay in it? Because eventually I think that this will get too low. But I think that there is a possibility that when enough people call it quits with exclusivity and the benefits that you can get from being exclusive, because it's really important to note that you do have benefits from it. Page reads do make up the majority of a lot of people's income, right, and royalties, because there's just less friction to get readers to your books that way. But once it becomes so low that enough people are bailing, probably Kindle will look at that, KDP will look at that and say, do we raise the rates? Mm. Do we put a little something in there to incentivize people to come back? Or do we allow people to be part of Kindle Unlimited without exclusivity? So we are heading towards that point. And I think as soon as Amazon sort of jailbreaks, you know, okay, guys, you were exclusive, but, you know, now anyone can do paid, like Kindle Unlimited. You don't have to be exclusive. The page reads are, page rate, like per page read rate, is going to go way down because there's no reason why anyone wouldn't have their book in KU. You know, like, right. I mean, there are reasons, right? But I think a lot more people who are wide would say, sure, yeah, people can read it in Kindle Unlimited as well. So there's going to be a big change when that happens. So that's just something I see us moving towards, whether or not it's beneficial for your individual business at this moment to jump ship, then that's up to you. I would say that Christine Catherine Rush has been wide for a very, very long time, and she has a ton of books. So that is a huge benefit when you're looking at wide. It takes a while to build that up. So maybe it's time to start building up some of your series wide and getting that readership. If this is making you uncomfortable, if this squeeze is too much for you right now. Lindsay Broker also has that
a huge backlist
and a huge following. She's been doing this for a long, long time too, and people are very loyal to her. So, and wide has always been part of her cycle. She releases books like direct and wide first and then puts them into KU. So she has built that up. So bailing for her doesn't mean that she's losing half of her income immediately. Right. So I just want to point that out so people aren't saying, oh, well, these people know what they're talking about, so we all got to get out. Because you want to kind of transition out slowly if you can, unless you can stand to lose those page reads.
Yeah. When it comes to your business's strategy, immediate knee-jerk reactions and these decisions to make huge changes. If you've been exclusive and you go to suddenly you're going to be wide, this is a huge change. If you make these changes on a whim, it might be really detrimental. It's like when Netflix decided it was going to spin out its business into one name was going to be for the DVD rentals and one name was going to be for the streaming. And I don't remember what the name was, but it was universally terrible. And that was similar to what it would be if you suddenly made a giant change like that. And so that didn't work for Netflix. Not saying that going wide wouldn't work for you. Going wide quickly and assuming it's going to be easy to make that transition without the help of the wonderful people from like the Wide for the Win Facebook group and now Circle group, because I think they moved to Circle. If you aren't studying up on it first and learning, you're gonna be like a giant tanker suddenly just making a really narrow turn. You don't know what's going to happen to that boat at fast speeds. So you just need to take your time, because wide can be a great strategy, but like any house, it needs a foundation first. You can't just be the three little pigs building out of straw, because that's what it would be like if you suddenly made that change.
Yeah. And each retailer is like learning a whole new set of skills. So if you do go wide, maybe just pick one that seems to do really well for your genre and focus on that for a while. You know, put a book or two in there and see what happens. See if you can get anything going. Because I think that people hear wide, they hear security, they hear, you know, not relying on Amazon. They can't exert power over you. And people are like, yes, I want that. Well, that could be $0 for a while if you don't understand that it is hard to go wide, or else a lot more people would be doing it. So yeah. I think that's also important, just to have those expectations pretty clear. Yeah.
But study up on it. Go join Wide for the Win. Read Mark Lefebvre's book, which is also called Wide for the Win. Go learn about this, because you might determine it is for you, but it's not going to be easy. So Claire, I've got a hot potato fresh out of the oven, or I guess since I'm asking you, you have the potato for me. Is the gradual lowering of the KU royalty rates going to get a significant number of authors to go wide? If not, what next thing would be pushing them off that ledge?
Yeah, I think that authors will start to go wide more frequently with KU rates lowering, especially if they continue to trend down over time, which I expect them to. But I think it's also going to take a lot more on the wide retailers, you know, Apple, Google, Kobo, Barnes Noble. I think that those retailers could do a lot to help themselves as well, to make it easier choice for authors to switch. Because it's like people want to leave the exclusivity, but you also need someplace nice to go. And it is really hard to get things going. I mean, Barnes Noble has some promotional tabs, but they're not great. They're not anything like a Kindle Countdown deal, right? The Kobo Plus has the, you know, or Kobo has the Kobo Plus with the page reads, but it doesn't have nearly the number of readers that Kindle Unlimited does. So I think that there's two phases to that. I think Kindle, KDP either needs to get its act together more, but also I think that these other retailers need to work a little bit more for indies and make it more familiar and make the water flow a little easier before people will leave the exclusivity and stay gone.
Yeah, great points. Great points.
All right, Brian, potato time. What do you think it would take for Amazon to make fundamental changes to KDP Select exclusivity program?
So the things that could happen that would actually lead to Amazon making significant changes in KDP Select, I think that it would come from a mass migration. They probably have a number in mind that if you hit that number, they're going to start being a little bit worried. And as you brought up earlier in the show, if suddenly exclusivity was gone, there would be a massive drop in the per page read for KU because everyone would have a reason to be in there. So Amazon's kind of painted itself into a corner. And as a result, I don't know if the exclusivity can go quietly, but maybe there are other benefits that it could put in. Maybe there are additional kinds of promotions that Amazon would allow here. Maybe there is something they could sync up additional advertising benefits or something for people in KDP Select. Something. Because if they change the exclusivity overnight, a ton of people are going to be angry. And maybe Amazon knows that, maybe they don't. But I think that it is going to take a certain number of people actually leaving the platform, and they know that number, we don't. But if that number gets hit, they might make some drastic changes, and knowing Amazon and the way they've brought down the hammer before, we might not be happy with those changes either.
So true.
Yeah. So I hear pew, 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 lightnings. That's what they're called, lightnings. And so this is the lightnings round. Claire, first one to you. Chuck Tingle, who we know and love, has, we don't know him, but we love the goofiness, has signed a traditional publishing deal. The comedic erotica shorts author says he's publishing a novel through Tor's Nightmare Press to reach a new audience. But in today's book market, what new audience can they help him reach?
Well, okay, so Chuck Tingle is going traditional publishing to reach new audience. That can be a good move for you if you're an indie and you already have a publisher lined up that is prioritizing you because you have a lot of indie success, which Chuck Tingle does unequivocally. The writing world knows Chuck's name. So I think that this might be an interesting move for him because it takes his brand of, you know, sort of B-movie type covers.
Yep.
The cover is really nice for his new book. It's very professional looking, but it does look like B-movie horror, yep. Which I think is still on brand for him. And so I think it's just going to introduce it. Sometimes just having different style of covers can introduce you to a new audience. But certainly they have a lot more distribution. Tor does than, you know, when you go indie. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It's interesting to see him be sort of accepted as a, you know, quote unquote real author, which of course, as soon as you publish a book, you're a real author, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I think you're right.
All right, Brian, when is a big book launch important for an author, and when should a launch be small?
So a big book launch is almost never important for an author in the beginning of their career. I think we get really excited about our first book. Maybe we have a party. Maybe we have a thing at a bookstore, and that's all well and good. But I do not recommend dropping top dollar, because in the beginning of your career, the slow and steady evergreen sales that you can get on your book through learning marketing, whether it be email or Amazon ads or book talk or whatever, that is going to take time. And they might take money if you want to be trained on those things and learn those things. And so as a result, it's almost better in the beginning to have a small book launch, because you are going to be putting money into learning about how to keep your everyday sales a little bit higher. So I would not worry about a big book launch in the beginning, because you might use that money to better ends later on.
So, totally.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Agree.
Yeah.
You're right, okay. Brian.
Oh, I love it when I get it right. It's like 1-to-1 is the score. Now, so Claire, generally with book launches, how important are book launches these days?
Book launches are as important these days as you want to make them. Mm. I do think that it works well for certain strategies. If you want to focus on new releases and put more of your energy there, then do a good book launch. If you don't want to do that, there are other ways of making money. And so I think it's important to understand that a book launch requires attention. A large, successful book launch requires your attention. We have limited attention. So ask yourself where you want to put your attention. If you have a large backlist, you could put a little bit more attention towards the backlist and have some nice steady sales. Whereas a book launch tends to be, you know, a lot at first, and you hope that it has a tail, but we don't see as much of a sales tail now as we used to. So where do you want to put your attention in your business? I don't think that readers generally go and check the publication date of a book before they buy it. That's not usually the qualifying criteria. There may be a small select group of readers who do that. But I think it's important to not over-prioritize launches and forget about backlist.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree.
All right, Brian. What old school publicity still has value today?
So There are pieces of old school publicity that have value today, but a lot of that value actually comes from the person that this marketing is about. So what do I mean by that? A friend of mine, Christina, who runs a PR company at Media Maven, she's really taught me this, that when a newspaper covers you, when a magazine covers you, when you're on a TV channel for something, that is almost going to get you nothing. Almost nothing. But the fortune is in the follow-up. And what you want to do is you are responsible then for promoting the heck out of when you were in that magazine or in that newspaper article. I've gotten a lot out of my relationship with Amazon as one of the Amazon ads educators. Do you know how many times I intend on letting the world know that Amazon had me come to Seattle to meet with them? I'm going to do it 10,000 times, because Amazon's not pushing that. Like, they are. I have like various appearances in blogs and whatnot, but they're not going to push that. I have to be the one to push that. So even if you do get any old school publicity, remember that it's still going to be you in the guerrilla marketing technique of getting the word out about that time when you were in a newspaper.
I love that. And that is why Enneagram 3s are so important in the world.
We need some Enneagram 3s. We need those achievers. So Claire, kind of changing directions a little bit here for the last question. Do you have an ARC team, and how do you use them?
So I have an ARC team for each of my pen names, but if I haven't published one in a while, then it kind of goes stale. But I like to use my ARC team to help me and other people get excited about the book. So I want to make sure that I give them the book significantly early, at least a couple weeks before publication, because that is a huge draw of it. They get it for free and they get it ahead of time. So I want those two bonuses that really motivate people to be on the team and make it better than just, well, I'll just read it on Kindle Unlimited. Because I need them motivated so that they can leave a review on release day or at least the first week of the release, because I don't do the massive, massive launches. That's just not my style. So, you know, getting those reviews in there early is really useful. And I like to have someone else manage my ARC team now. So that is not where I put a lot of my attention, because it's a lot of details and a lot of follow-up work, which anyone could do. So it doesn't need to be me.
Love that. Yeah. Anyone can do that when you get to a point in your career. And I'm always talking to higher level coaching students. It's like, why don't you have a person for that yet? Because there are certain things that are just not worth your time, because you have to be the one to write the words. And you can't do that if you are following up on 70 ARC team members.
And I have so many words to write right now, Brian. Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm sorry, Claire. I didn't mean, it was an unintentional swipe. But Claire, we need a question of the week. The big news, of course, being about this KU page rate dropping and whether or not that should impact your business. What kind of question do you want to ask about this?
Here's a very specific one.
Okay.
If you currently have books enrolled in Kindle Unlimited, what is the threshold at which you will say no more?
I like that. So I'm going to quote it exactly. If you have books in Kindle Unlimited, then what is your threshold for saying no more? I'm out. Goodbye. You can answer that question of the week over at, we promise we're going to get it in there, the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group, or at the website at sellmorebookshow.com. We also have, hey, it's growing, our Sell More Book Show YouTube channel. I think we're up to 37 or 47 subscribers.
Oh, wow.
So it's one of those two numbers. We're getting there, but if you like your content on YouTube, we are putting more attention there. So go check it out. Go check out ffs.media/classes.
Yes. Yep.
Go check that out. And we will try to link. I'll give it to you right after the show, Claire, so that you have the link for this to send to our my email class on Thursday at 2 p.m., how to get your first 500 subscribers. So, Claire, anything else you want to tell anybody?
Oh, I have so much more coming up the rest of the year, but I'm not announcing it yet. So just stay tuned and, send me good vibes.
I'll start. Here's some good vibes. So, yeah. Awesome.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks.
Oh, anytime. Anytime.
You waited so expectantly after that for a thank you.
I just didn't want it to seem like I was rude talking over you. Is really okay. What it was. No, it was.
All right.
But, expectant pauses and Claire Taylor, I'm Brian Cohen. I hope you have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week for episode 475. Big number there, 475. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling!